from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And welcome in ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. It is Chasing Checkers. I am Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a great weekend here in Nashville. Racing from Dover Downs coming up this weekend, as NASCAR had a couple of announcements that we'll get into regarding qualifying. So we'll discuss that. But first, we have to look back at Talladega. And we talked about this on the show last week, of what exactly we expected from the Talladega Super Speedway. It was going to be the first time under this new rules package with the tapered spacer and all of that, not the traditional restrictor plate that we're used to. So what were we going to get racing-wise at Talladega? And I'm going to tell you this, folks. I enjoyed the racing. I watched pretty much every lap of that thing, and I enjoyed it. I thought that with all the lead changes, and then you had Chase Elliott towards the end showing that he had the car, you had the big one as always, you had a wild finish, you had everything you would expect out of a Talladega race, but I thought that the racing was the best that it's been in a really long time at that track. More passes, things like that, the closing rate with each car was really, really good. That was fun to watch. So I was pleased with everything that we saw last weekend at Talladega, and I know that a lot of the drivers are. We're going to talk to Ty Dillon here in a little bit. We're going to talk to Martin Truex Jr. as well. So that's going to I'm curious to hear what those drivers have to say, because they were right in the thick of it. Ty Dillon was, of course, you know, in the middle of the action towards the end of the race, but that's something that you want to get. That's a perspective that you want to get, and that's why we have those drivers on. But Chase Elliott is the man that got it done. He won the race. It's his fourth career win, and the crowd was going nuts at the end of the race for Chase Elliott. He caught up with Jeff Gordon and the rest of the Fox Sports booth after the win.
How does that feel to get out of the car? I know you've won some races before, but to win in front of a crowd that was cheering like this, that had to feel amazing. And could you have held off Bowman if it had gone all the way?
Yeah. No, it was that was one of the coolest things ever. I mean, this crowd was absolutely insane. Just glad we could get Mountain Dew, Little Caesars, and Chevrolet. A lot of Chevrolet teamwork done today. Hendrick Power was incredible, and Napa, Kelley Blue Book, Valvoline, and Hooters, all the people that make this deal go around. But it was just a crazy day. Well executed day on the Chevrolet team's behalf, and proud of that effort. And yeah, that last lap was going to get wild. I don't know exactly what Alex had up his sleeve. I know he was coming with something, but yeah, we'll take it. And just unbelievable feeling, and the crowd was intense. So we're proud to get it done for him.
Yeah, the crowd was all about some Chase Elliott. They were into that. And, you know, to see two teammates in Bowman and Elliott fighting it out for the win, even though Bowman didn't really have a chance to get to him because of how everything, you know, played out with the end of the race and the wreck and finishing under caution. But I think Chase Elliott proved that he had the car to beat. And Alex Bowman gave his thoughts on what it would have meant to chase him down, so to speak. A little play on words there, but to be able to battle it out with Chase Elliott at the end.
Yeah, there was no plan coming off turn four, but unfortunately we didn't get there before the caution came out. So just big props to Chevrolet and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports. They brought great race cars here. We had a great nationwide Chevy from the time we unloaded and showed a lot of speed. We all stuck to our plans and executed really well. So props to everybody back at home at HMS and in the fab shop, the engine shop, and everybody that makes this deal possible.
So if the caution didn't come out, you were going to try to make a move on him?
Yeah, I'm not just going to let him win, right? I got to try. You know, I knew I could get to his quarter panel. I was pretty confident I could get to his quarter panel through the tri-oval, and who knows who's going to get to the line first at that point. I thought I could do it, but depends on the car behind you where he goes, and it would have been fun to try, but happy for Chase and Nationwide, Exalta, and everybody that lets us keep doing this thing. It's I'm glad to kind of turn the season around. It's been a rough start to the year, and these guys deserve way better than the finishes they've had. So to come home second, it's not a win, but it's headed in the right direction.
I think it's huge for Hendrick Motorsports, too. That's Alex Bowman with Fox Sports after the race. It's huge for Hendrick because you have this new crop of drivers. I mean, Chase Elliott kind of leads the way with the young guns there, but Alex Bowman takes over for Dale Jr. You had William Byron in there in the 24, and then Jimmy Johnson is the veteran. But it's been tough going for Hendrick Motorsports here as of late, and I think having those guys finish the way they did, finish 1-2, and you go and you look down the way, obviously Jimmy Johnson had some trouble. Bowman got caught up in some things towards the end of the race. Or I'm sorry, not Bowman, Byron got caught up in some things towards the end of the race. But to have a 1-2 finish for Hendrick with Elliott in the 9 and Bowman in the 88, I think is huge for not only their confidence, but the confidence of the team. And so I think it's huge for them to be able to do that. And for Chase Elliott, being able to get a win early on in the season, you know, we saw last year he won 3 races, but it was towards the back half of the season. Now he's gotten that win early, and I think that takes some pressure off of him as you move forward. And here is what he had to say in his post-race press conference about getting a win early.
You know, last year obviously was good with the 3 wins. You know, the cool thing about today is how early in the year it is, you know, and those playoff points propelling some of those guys at the final four. Obviously you need to win at other places, you know, aside from a speedway too, but a sticker's a sticker and the playoff points are what they are. And I think it's important to rack them up as early as you can, as long as you can keep stacking on top of it, you know, so it's certainly a big deal, excited about it. And yeah, just nice to get a speedway win. We've been close and had some really fast cars, and Allen's never won one in his 15 years crew chiefing, or however many years it's been. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, just looking forward to enjoying it.
And I think it was big for him. You know, you get that first super speedway win, that's always special. But think about this now. Chase Elliott, in the past, whatever it's been, 8-9 months, he's got 4 wins. And everybody was worried about him and what was going to happen. Like, hey, he hadn't won yet. Everybody thought he was the next big thing. He's the most popular driver. You know, he's got to win. Well, now he's kind of found that confidence and he's found his mojo and he's starting to do that. I think, again, you can say this about a lot of drivers, but Chase Elliott's going to be a guy to watch out for. And maybe he's the one that can lead the pack, the Chevy camp, and he can start popping off a bunch of wins. So I think that is something to watch out for, and that's something that he's hoping he can do as well.
Yeah, just, you know, trying not to just ride the roller coaster, you know, try not to be too up on the ups and too down on the downs. It's there's just so many things that are out of my control and out of my hands. You have to just kind of roll with it some days, and that's not fun. Sometimes it is. You know, today's like today, it's fun to roll with it. Richmond, it was not fun rolling with it, you know, so it's just one of those things where you just have to appreciate the good days and, you know, enjoy them. I mean, these races are too hard to win not to enjoy them, and you never know if or when you're ever going to win another one. And I think having such a hard road to get to win number one made me realize that and appreciate it more than I would have if I'd been able to, you know, get a win right off the bat. So it everything kind of runs its course for a reason.
I think that first one is always the hardest one to get, but then, you know, now it's become natural to him, and it's become natural to that team. Alan Gustafson has worked with some great drivers over the years, Kyle Busch, Jeff Gordon being two of them, and now he's got a chance to work with Chase Elliott, and he's been a veteran crew chief. He just got his first super speedway win, as you heard, and I just think that that's the right combination, and now they have confidence in each other, and now they're able to get it done. And so you heard the crowd too. I mean, that's exactly what NASCAR needed. They needed their guy that the fans have picked. That's Chase Elliott. They needed him to find victory lane and find it early. And he said in his post-race press conference, that crowd at the end of the race was probably one of the coolest things that he has experienced.
What a day. Just a huge thanks to all of our partners, my team, Hendrick Motorsports, Chevrolet, obviously a lot of teamwork done today. So big thanks to Mountain Dew, Little Caesars, Napa, all our partners that make this happen. But you guys up there, you're really what makes it happen. Thank you.
Chase, I talked to you and your crew chief this morning, and you talked about the Chevrolet meeting, and Alan Gustafson said something was different this time. We are going to make it work. How important was that today?
It was huge. You know, we just had a plan and executed it really well. Obviously, could have gone both ways, but you know, fortunately, everybody stayed together and stayed the course and had some help on that last lap with a caution. But just appreciate all the support, man. This is unbelievable. This is a special one. This is close to home for me, so feels a little bit like a home race. Thank you, guys.
You hear that crowd with Fox Sports Jamie Little with Chase Elliott. That crowd loves Chase Elliott. They were supporting him. You know, it is close to where, you know, he grew up in Atlanta. And so I think that having that crowd behind him was going to be is big for NASCAR. It's big for him, of course, but I think it's big for NASCAR that the fans kind of have their guy. They have their next guy, and it's Chase Elliott, and he was able to get it done, and he's showing, you know, meeting with Chevy and all that stuff, he's showing that he can do it in the top series for NASCAR. And, you know, I just think that that's going to be something to watch moving forward. So looking at the finishing results for Talladega, Chase Elliott, of course, your winner, followed by Alex Bowman. Ryan Preece with the career finish of third. Joey Logano comes home fourth. Daniel Hemric with a nice run as well in fifth. Kurt Busch sixth. Ryan Newman seventh. Brendan Gaughan with a top 10. Eric Almirola ninth. And Kyle Busch rounds out the top 10. One thing that's going to be interesting to watch when they go to the new schedule next year is not only do you have Talladega inside the playoffs, but you have Daytona as the cutoff race for the regular season. You're going to have the chance for drivers that maybe wouldn't be in the playoffs or shouldn't be in the playoffs. They're going to be contending for a win at Daytona on that cutoff race to get in. And I think that that's something that NASCAR wanted to create. They wanted to give other drivers a chance. That's going to be fun, but it's also going to make things very interesting because these super speedways are such wild card races, you never really know how it's going to turn out. So curious to see how that goes next year with the new schedule. Dover coming up this weekend. We're going to have Martin Truex Jr. on the show, Ty Dillon. Also, you'll hear from Darrell Waltrip from a few weeks ago to replay some of that. But one thing that I wanted to touch on as we open the show here is the wreck at the end of the race. And we know how wild the finishes can be at Talladega. We know how dangerous super speedway racing can be, but I have to applaud NASCAR for the safety innovations they've made with these cars. Kyle Larson took a tumble and he got out and did an interview and he was fine. And I think all of us remember 2001. All of us remember 2000, you know, in that stretch, three drivers died. With, you know, Kenny Irwin, Adam Petty, and of course Dale Earnhardt, you know, lost their lives in racing accidents. And I think you look at how far these cars have come since then. You know, Kyle Larson makes that tumble in 2001. I'm not so sure we're talking to Kyle Larson. That was a rough crash because not only that, but the way he hit before he even took the tumble. You have to applaud NASCAR on what they've been able to do with the safety innovations. And he caught up, Kyle Larson caught up with Fox afterwards and discussed the wild ride.
Well, initially I just thought I was going to hit the inside wall pretty hard. And then right before I got to it, I felt it lift and I was just hoping it would set down. And then it just started tumbling. That was probably the longest flip I've ever had. Still haven't really seen a replay of it, but I just didn't know if it ever stopped. I knew I was flipping and just hoping that I wasn't going to get any closer to the catch fence. So, yeah, it just was a little bit scary, but thankfully I'm all right. So thanks to, you know, the Fab Shop at Chip Ganassi Racing for building safe race cars. That was, like I said, it was scary. So just thankful that I'm okay. You know, hats off to Chase. It was a good day for Chevy. We all had a plan to work together. And Chevy won both stages and the race, so that was really cool. You thought I could have a shot to win there, but it just didn't work out. As soon as we left the restart zone, we were kind of just in a bad spot. And so then I was in the back, and when you're like that and everybody's four or five wide, you know something crazy's going to happen. So in the middle of it, but had a good time today. Just wish we would have been on the right end of it for once this year.
That's Kyle Larson with Fox Sports after his wild ride at the end of the race. And again, he's okay. He's fine. Just a scary moment. But, you know, again, hats off to NASCAR for the safety innovations. So Talladega in the books. We won't have another super speedway race until 4th of July weekend at Daytona. So move on to some of the intermediate tracks. We discussed qualifying. NASCAR announced this week they're going to go back to single car qualifying like we used to have. Pretty much at every racetrack except for the road courses. They'll continue the group qualifying at the road courses. But the rules are if it's below a mile and a half, they'll have two laps of single qualifying, and if it's above a mile and a half, they will do one lap of single qualifying. I think this is the best course of action for them. I know it's not that exciting for the fans to watch single lap qualifying, but with everything that was going on with the group qualifying, it just wasn't working the way that everybody had hoped it would. This is going to be exactly what they need to do. So I applaud NASCAR for trying it. It didn't work, and so now they're going to go back to single car qualifying, and that's what we're going to have moving forward, starting this weekend at Dover. So we'll get some thoughts on Talladega and, of course, Dover. When we come back, Ty Dillon will join the show here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. We told you we would be joined by Ty Dillon, and that is the case. Ty, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, I want to start things off by asking how fatherhood's going. I know that you got some daddy duties going on today. How's that been working out?
It's going good. I got her right now on my hip, so you might hear her say a couple things and say hello herself. So.
Very, very cool. Well, Talladega is in the rearview mirror, and I know that it was going to be interesting for you guys because you didn't really know what to expect with the new rules package. We've been so used to the restrictor plates over the last few years, but from a fan's point of view and watching it, it seemed like it was pretty cool. The racing was pretty good. What did you see from your perspective?
Yeah, I thought the racing was great. It was inside the car. It was really intense. And, you know, going 200 miles an hour, it doesn't always feel the best. Hold on 1 second. Come on, Bubba. Let's go. I had to tell my dog to come inside. But going 200 miles an hour inside the car at that level of quickness and intensity isn't always the most comfortable thing. But like anybody, we all kind of adapt. And I think it was a great race. I know the fans enjoyed it. And I did, too. We survived it. So that's what I like.
How big of a difference was it just from the feel of the race car from the old setup like you guys ran in the Daytona 500 and last year at Talladega to what you had this year?
You know, when we went out there in the first practice with a regular, you know, new package without the wicker, the cars felt relatively the same. But when they threw the wickers on there, it really loosened up my car and a lot of other cars in the draft. And that was the biggest change we made out of all the big changes, just throwing the wicker on. Really changed the balance of my car, which made it a little bit harder to drive in the draft. And I think that was a good change. I don't think it accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, but I think it made the cars more difficult to handle, which is always good for drivers.
You actually won the first stage there at Talladega, so I know that had to be pretty cool to get that stage win under your belt.
Oh, that was awesome. I don't think coming in this year, if you'd asked anybody else, winning two stages would have been something that was widely talked about, but we're really pumped with the way this year has gone and the opportunities that we have gotten. And we're looking forward to doing more and more, you know, good things as far as earning points, as many as we can, and get two stage wins. And to get one at the Geico 500 with our Geico Camaro was massive for our team. And we just look forward to building off of that.
Talking with Ty Dillon, the driver of the number 13 Germain Racing Chevy, here with us on Chasing Checkers, and you talk about building things, and I look at your career in the Cup Series. It's gotten a little bit better each year, and as you mentioned, a couple of stage wins already. It seems like things are really going in the right direction for you and your team.
Yeah, they are. I think the biggest thing that has made that a possibility for our team is the commitment that Bob Germain has given to me as a driver, and the trust in that, and the commitment that we've gotten from Geico that, you know, here's a couple years of commitment as far as sponsorship dollars and contract length that we can grow. And growth doesn't always look straight up. It isn't always perfect in the vision of what you would think it is. Sometimes perfect, which was that felt like last year for us. But this year, we took everything that we did learn and we have applied it. And the fruits of our labor, I guess, are showing so much truer this year. It's 4 out of 10 races and finished 17th last week. We've won 2 stages. We're sitting 22nd in points, and we're only, we're 38 or 39 points out of 16th, a chase position. That is growth for our team, and that doesn't happen unless you have and a crew chief. And as a whole, we're allowed to grow.
Yeah, and I guess another question for you along those lines. You've been with Germain Racing here for a few years and spent pretty much your years coming up through the ranks driving for your grandfather, Richard Childress, along with your brother. How big of a difference in a transition was it for you to go from the family business to racing for someone else?
You know, Bob Germain and Geico were, looking for something different in their team, and things lined up, and it's been a great decision. It's been a great 3 years, and I'm looking forward to more with them.
Kind of going back to Talladega, you had a bird's eye view for that big wreck at the end. Larson with that flip and being able to get out, be okay. I mean, that just shows you what NASCAR has put into these cars to make them safe for all you guys. But what did you see as things unfolded there at the end?
Yeah, that last lap was crazy. And you know, with the new package, I knew we'd be going a lot faster. Just feel the energy. You didn't want to think what was going to happen. It could happen, but when it's going faster, that the possibilities of a bigger crash are there. As a driver, I don't think there's any driver that can tell you that they're not afraid of something like that happening and the results of it. But that's where you put all your trust in your team and the folks back at the shop that put in all the hard, ensuring you have a fast race car, but also ensuring your safety. So when I walk away from something like that, it always makes you feel good. Where we've advanced as a sport as far as safety and the people that are putting the hands on the race cars.
Ty Dillon is with us, and as I let you go, Dover this weekend, obviously a different place than Talladega, but as we continue to go to these racetracks with this new rules package, what are you expecting on the Monster Mile?
As we continue to go to these tracks with the new rules package, we just don't know what to expect week to week, and every track is a new learning experience. And, we go to short tracks and we're learning something new. We go to these mile tracks and we learn something new. From a mile and a half, we're going to go to 2 mile tracks coming up soon. And it's going to be a learning experience every time. And that's where teams who can adapt and teams with good relationships between driver and crew chief and all the guys back at the shop who are prepared well can move week to week to what we feel like is necessary, this new package. And as the years roll on, the needs will become smaller and you'll get honed in on a tighter package of what you need to excel week in and week out.
All right, Ty. Well, best of luck this weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you.
That's Ty Dillon, driver of the number 13 Germain Racing Geico Chevy. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, you will hear from the 2017 Cup Series champion, Martin Truex Jr. He will join us live here on the show. That's all next on Nashville's Best Sports Talk. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are online at thegamenashville.com as well. And as promised, pleased to be joined by Martin Truex Jr., of course, the driver for Joe Gibbs Racing, the number 19. Martin, how's it going today?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing great. I know Dover is always going to be a special place for you because that's where you got your first win in the Cup Series, and I think that's something that a driver will always remember. I know the cars have changed a lot since then. The rules package has changed a lot, but is it still special for you to go back to Dover?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love coming here. It's close to where I grew up, and, I ran in the lower series here coming up through the ranks, and getting my first Cup win here and all that. I mean, it's always been a special place to me. It's a place I've really enjoyed racing at over the years, and definitely a little bit different this weekend so far, but it should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to a great weekend too.
So we've seen this new rules package basically since you guys left Daytona, so throughout the schedule. Last week at Talladega, a lot of unknowns going into that, but from my point of view, watching the race, as a fan and a media member, The racing was a lot of fun. I know for the drivers it was probably a little frustrating as usual at a place at a track like that. But what did you see from your perspective? I know you got caught up in some things towards the end, but what did you think about the racing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go to Talladega or Daytona speedways, you know, you're always going to be in, you know, have that opportunity to be in the danger zone or, you know, get caught up in one of those big wrecks. But I'll tell you, it was the most fun I've had racing at a plate track in quite some time, honestly. I thought it was really exciting. There was so much going on. The cars were fast and, you know, the draft was huge. You know, you get those big runs and make passes and it just was always, there was always something happening around you, and it was, you could be aggressive, you could make moves, and I just thought it was a lot of fun. So we definitely didn't have the finish we hoped for, but we had a great race car, and it was really a lot of fun out there racing all day.
How about the safety that, you know, how safe these cars are now? I mean, you look at Larson's flip at the end of that race. I mean, that was scary to watch, and then he gets out, everything's fine. Just what NASCAR has done with these cars to make them safe for you guys.
Oh, yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, what they've done in the past, you know, even since I started, you know, the last probably 15 years, the safety has come so far. And, you know, the speed we're running today, obviously we need it. But it's amazing, and it's a credit to NASCAR and all the folks that, you know, with the Haas device and the helmet manufacturers and just everybody, the people that build the seats. I mean, everybody just working together. To make sure these things are as safe as possible has been huge. And, of course, NASCAR does a really good job of inspecting race cars and making sure everybody's stuff is the way it needs to be, you know, even today. So just a credit to them, and it definitely, you know, helps us race a little bit harder with more confidence that, you know, knowing that we can get through some pretty bad stuff with these things.
Martin Truex Jr. here with us on Chasing Checkers. They're racing at Dover this weekend. Of course, you can watch on Fox Sports 1. Now, I know this has been a year of transition for you, so to speak. It wasn't a huge transition to go from one team to another because you had the alliance there with Furniture Row and Joe Gibbs. But what has that transition been like for you going to Gibbs Racing?
Yeah, it's been really good, honestly. I mean, I feel like we've had a really good start to the season with all the changes going on. And you know, not only with the rules, but as you mentioned, you know, a new team and a lot of new people together. So we've got a really great group of guys together that are working well together and having fun and doing a really good job. So, I mean, it's we've had a few hiccups here and there. You know, it's been a little bit of an up-and-down season, but we've been fast everywhere and been competitive. And, you know, to be able to get to victory lane a few weeks ago in Richmond was huge, get our first win together as a group. And then, you know, that first win of the season always seems to be the one that's the toughest to get. And, you know, so to get that out of the way and be able to hang my first banner up in Joe Gibbs Racing on the wall there was really huge and exciting for all of us. So hopefully we can continue that, you know. A little bit of a bad week last week like we talked about, but got a good stretch of tracks coming up for us. You know, here at Dover's always been good, and Kansas coming up next week, a track where we've won a few times. And so got some good tracks coming, Charlotte coming up, and excited about all those places and seeing what we can do.
I always find it interesting when you have two guys that compete against each other on the racetrack that are now on the same team, and I'm talking about you and Kyle Busch. We know about the big three and all of that from last season, but you guys have been competitors for a long time. What's it like now being on the same team but still having a little bit of that competitiveness?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good camaraderie there, you know. I mean, we get along well. We work together well off the racetrack and all those things, and I think, you know, there's just having a lot of respect for each other is really what it's all about. Respect for what we've done on the racetrack and, you know, the way we're able to help each other off the track. So we're still competitors. We still both want to win each and every weekend. There's no question about that desire. But I think we do a good job of, you know, doing it all the right way. And so it's been really fun to be a part of that team and work with Kyle and Danny and Eric. And you know, we've really, I feel like we all get along well and have that mutual respect, and it's really elevated all of our teams the past few seasons.
NASCAR made the announcement this week, Martin, that you guys are going to be going back to single car qualifying for most of the tracks, or for pretty much every track except for the road course. This is how it used to be done. What are your thoughts on qualifying? Because I know this is something that the drivers and the teams and NASCAR, they've all been trying to make better.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's interesting to go back and think about, you know, the mindset of how we used to qualify and try to implement that again. I mean, it's been so different the last few years where you're like, okay, you know, I have this first round, I only have to make the top 24. I don't want to wear my tires out too much. And you kind of had that strategy of, okay, how do I make it work so I'm the fastest on that last, in that last round? And there's so much that goes into setting the car up to do that, the driver's mental focus and just his game plan and approach to qualifying. And now we go back to single car, how it used to be. You get one shot at it. If you screw up at all, you know, you don't get us a round two, or you can't go out and make another run. So, you know, the pressure, I think, is definitely a lot higher this way, and it's just more difficult, I think. So, you know, just trying to think back to how we used to do it and you kind of change your mindset is difficult and takes a little bit of time. So I'm fine with whatever they choose. You know, we just want to figure out how to be the best at it, and that's the hard part. And so just trying to think back on how we used to do it and try to figure out maybe get a jump start on the other guys, and you know, especially in these first couple of weeks when everyone's getting used to it, figure out how to qualify well.
Well, I know it'll be exciting to watch. And before I let you go, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since they made the announcement that the awards banquet would be in Nashville. Of course, we're trying to get some racing back out here. But just how excited are you to be able to come to Nashville?
Oh, I'm really excited. It's such a great city. And, you know, I love country music, and that's kind of, you know, what goes on there. So, I mean, there's just so much fun stuff to do there. I think it'll be an awesome experience for the fans that come out. And I know all of us here in the garage and in NASCAR are looking forward to going there and having a big time and a big celebration.
Martin, I appreciate the time. Best of luck at Dover.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Martin Truex Jr., the driver of the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. I appreciate him taking the time to come on with us this week and discuss things. You know, he's always one that is fun to talk to. So Dover, where he got his first win, he's been good there. We have seen him and that team have some speed. They already have the one win that they got a few weeks ago at Richmond. So, again, Martin Truex Jr. is always one of those drivers that you have to pay attention to. So we will see how things shake out at Dover. When we come back, I had a lot of people ask me about the interview I did with Darrell Waltrip a few weeks back. So we're going to replay some of that for you to wrap up this edition of Chasing Checkers, the part in which he talks about retirement. He talks about getting out of the Fox Sports booth at the end of their season. You'll hear from Old EW next here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by our next guest, as promised, Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR Hall of Famer, and also, of course, in the booth on Fox NASCAR, at least for a little while longer. DW, how's it going?
That is going well. Yeah, I'm up here in Richmond getting ready for qualifying later on this evening. And a little cloudy, a little overcast, might rain a little bit. But yeah, we usually find a way to get the races in. So I'm pretty excited about what we're going to see, another short track. And I love the short tracks where I grew up. So, you know, with Bristol and Martinsville and now Richmond, the short tracks are the place to be.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll be another short track on the schedule, Nashville, at some point.
Both. I hope you're right about that. I'd love to see the fairgrounds revived and, you know, get some good NASCAR racing. I don't know, Xfinity, trucks, I don't care what they get, just get some NASCAR racing back at the track.
Well, we'll start with that and then get into your announcement here in just a few, but the steps are there. The awards banquet is coming here for the first time at the end of the season, and we know that the folks that run Bristol have entered into an agreement, and you have the Formosas there that are running the track. It seems like things are starting to come together. There's just going to be a few more steps. Obviously, they have to put some money into the joint and fix it up.
Yeah, there's so many obvious things that need to be done before NASCAR would even, you know, bring one of their premier series back there. We got to get safer barriers put up, and there just needs a lot of little odds and ends things done, and needs some money spent on it. Hadn't anything done to it in years. I think the most exciting thing for me, Tony Formosa has done an amazing job of keeping the place open and keeping it going, and so I can't fault him for that. But I think with SMI and the folks at Bristol and Marcus Smith and that whole crowd, there are just so many options. They have the opportunity to maybe do a lot of things there that couldn't have gotten done in the past. So Looking forward to see what the future for the fairgrounds is going to be. I think it's pretty bright, and I think there are some opportunities. And I believe Marcus Smith and Jerry Caldwell and all those guys, I believe they're really committed to, you know, getting racing back to the fairgrounds like it used to be. So it may take a little bit of time. It's not going to happen overnight, but I see some great things in the future for the fairgrounds.
Well, one thing that I've always noticed about NASCAR, and you were at the forefront of this, because we know that you can be vocal, and the drivers are vocal. And every driver that I've had on this show since I started it, I always ask them, hey, Nashville, what do you think? Would you guys want to come back here? And they all say yes. They all go back to that short track, whether they've raced there or they haven't raced there, of just how much history is involved with it and how the sport needs to be in a city that's growing and obviously has a huge fan base.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And certainly getting the awards awards banquet in Nashville is a big plus for the city. And I think the mayor and I think all the folks over on the fair board, I think there's a real renewed interest in maybe getting something going over there. You know, with a soccer stadium going in right in the same property, and maybe there's a way to connect the two together to where, you know, we have soccer and racing, and it becomes a sports complex. It's in an ideal spot. It's right in the middle of town. It's 115, 20 acres right in the middle of town. I just think the possibilities are endless. And once you get somebody like SMI over there, Bruton Smith and his crowd, and they want to make some improvements and get things rolling, I'm just really optimistic about what may happen. It's an iconic speedway. You can ask Dale Jr. You can ask, you know, look at all the incredible drivers that have gone through that place through the years. And, you know, we had two cup races there at one time, and then we lost them and they went away. And the short tracks kind of faded away. A lot of short tracks closed down. But I think the fan today, they enjoy those close quarter racings, you know, rubbing his racing and trading paint and door handle to door handle. And the thing I love about, like, any of the short tracks, Martinsville, Bristol, we're at Richmond, you're so close to the action. You right. Always feel like you can reach out and touch the car. So it's just a much more exciting experience for the fan to have those cars so close and be able to just feel like you're almost in the driver's seat in a lot of cases.
And I love the, you know, back in the day, a short track schedule. I mean, you kind of basically had that short track season where you'd bounce around to all of them. And, you know, with the schedule changes that they're making in 2020 and then again in 2021, I kind of hope they get back to that. And, you know, not just Nashville down the line, but I'd love to see a place like Iowa on the schedule.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about Iowa. It's Iowa's a bit of a stretch. It's a pretty good racetrack. A lot of guys like racing there, but it's really almost like the track that Dover built over there at Lebanon. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. There's right. Not a lot of facilities around, and I think that's important for the longevity of any track, is where it's located, what's it close to, are there hotels, are there restaurants. You look at Charlotte Motor Speedway, right in the middle of kind of a growing area. You look at the fairgrounds in Nashville, right in the middle of town. Those are the tracks that seem to have the longevity and seem to be able to hang in there, you know, in good times and bad. So I know the schedule changed for 20, and that's great. I like what they've done. But I think 21, we could see some real super, really big changes. Maybe some tracks lose a date, maybe some new tracks come on the schedule. I think there are a lot of things that may happen in 21.
Darrell Waltrip here on Chasing Checkers, NASCAR Hall of Famer and broadcaster for Fox NASCAR. So you made an announcement last week, and I read the article you did with Mike Organ of the Tennessean and thought it was pretty cool that you picked Bristol, a place you won at 12 times. Kyle Busch had a little tribute to you in Victory Lane about that. And, you know, why now? That's a simple question. Why now?
Well, for a lot of people that don't know me that well, I'm 72 years old, and the first time I ever raced, I was 12 years old. So that's 60 years of my life that I've devoted and dedicated to being where I am today. When I was growing up in Owensboro, racing go-karts and then hobby cars, and I moved to Franklin, Tennessee to be able to race to fairgrounds. And I ran my first cup race at Talladega in 1972. I've raced with the greatest drivers of all time, in my opinion. I've done things I never thought I'd be able to do, accomplished things I never thought I'd possible. And so I've had an incredible career as a driver. And for the last 19 years, I've been in the TV booth every week with Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, and now Jeff Gordon. That has been one of the most fun things I've ever done. I've been in movies. I've written books. I've spoken at the the President's Prayer Breakfast. I've flown on Air Force One. I don't know. I can't think of anything else I want to do. So I think I'm going to take some time off now and enjoy my family. And my girls grew up to track, and, you know, they grew up under my nose before I even knew it. And now I have a grandchild, Louisa, Jessica's daughter, and she's 14 months old. And I want to be a good grandfather, and I want to be able to take her to Disney or fishing or whatever she wants to do. So the next chapter of my life is, you know, maybe it'll slow down a little bit, but I know I'll enjoy it because I have so much to be grateful for and so much to look back on that I think now's the right time. Bristol was the right place, and it's time for me to think about doing something else for the rest of my life.
You bring up that you're 72. When I read that and then I heard you say it again here, I was like, wait, what? Because you don't act like it. I mean, you're still the same DW I grew up watching.
Well, I've been blessed. I was saying the other day, well, I haven't really had that many. I haven't been operated on, and I've had 11 surgeries in my life, and I had to add them all up before I realized that. But and the race cars have hurt me a few times, but I've survived. And I tell you, you won't believe the train. I had such good training for what I'm doing now. Ralph Emery was a great friend of mine back in the day, and he had that show on Nashville Network called Nashville Now, and his morning show over at Channel 4. Just so many opportunities that I had to learn what it was like to be in front of the camera, what it meant to be entertaining, what it meant to have fun, and I've been able to use those things that I learned from those experiences in Nashville. Me and Hope Hines doing a show on Channel 5 with Joe Carver called Pit Stop. And I've enjoyed the media. I'm a huge country music fan. I've been to the Grand Ole Opry many times. Me and Terry Bradshaw actually sang on the Grand Ole Opry. I've introduced Charlie McDaniel. Charlie Daniels as the, when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame on his 80th birthday. There's just so many things I've done, and you know, the bucket is just about empty.
Talking with Darrell Waltrip, and you know, when I was reading everything and you came to this decision, did you have some similarities of when you decided it was time to get out of the race car and go into the broadcast booth? Did you have some of those same conversations, not with your family or your wife, but with yourself?
Well, when I was still, you know, things happen. Everything happens for a good reason. Had I not retired from driving when I did, I wouldn't have had the job with Fox that I have. And so that was good timing on my part. But that was the hardest thing I thought I'd ever have to do, because I just felt like my identity was locked, all kind of wrapped up in what I'd done as a race car driver. And so I thought, when I leave here, when I'm not a driver anymore, you know, are people going to remember me, and are they going to talk about my driving career? And then I met David Hill from Fox Sports, and he offered me a job as an analyst on TV. And I thought, well, that's not a bad gig. You know, it's a half a year and pays pretty good, and it can be a lot of fun, keeps me involved in the sport. And so I jumped on that right away. And quite honestly, it's the best thing I've ever done. I've never enjoyed anything anymore. I love driving cars. I still love driving cars today. And I still love being in the booth talking about the drivers and the cars. But my TV job has been the best thing I've ever done. And really hard to walk away from such a great team. I'm surrounded by great. Mike Joy's been a mentor to me my whole career. He interviewed me in 1989 when I won the Daytona 500. I've known Mike for years. Larry McReynolds and I became great friends, and now Jeff Gordon and I, the people in the truck, Eric Shanks, my boss now, David Hill, my former boss. It's like being on a race team, a TV production team, the guys that bring you the race every week. It's just like being on a race team. We all have our roles. We all know what we're supposed to do, and I'm been blessed and fortunate to be surrounded by the best in the business, I think.
Good old DW Darrell Waltrip joining us here on the show. Always appreciate him taking the time to come on with us because he's one of the best. And that was from a few weeks ago. He announced he was going to be stepping out of the TV booth at the end of the Fox Sports schedule. So we wish him the best and appreciate him for taking the time. My thanks to Ty Dillon and Martin Truex Jr. and all of you for listening this week. That's going to do it. Enjoy the racing from Dover. This is Chasing Checkers. Rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes, and always find us on thegamenashville.com and every weekend right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.